The word today is commandment. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. As little children, we were taught by our parents not to do certain things. But to this day, many adults misunderstand why God gave us the commandments. Here from our archives, with some thoughts on this subject, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Commandment.
As the people of God crossed the Sinai Peninsula on their way to the Promised Land, you recall they stopped at Mount Sinai, and here is where God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. You can read that account in the book of Exodus. It's a stirring account of how God used Moses to bring the commandments to the people. And you recall the first time Moses came down from the mountain, the people of God had rebelled, and under the careless leadership of Aaron, they had built a golden calf and were celebrating. They had really given up in their faith of God. They thought Moses had been gone too long and something had happened. And you recall how Moses had to go back up again and get the tablets of stone on which the Ten Commandments were engraved. And as he brought these two tablets down to the people and then began to teach them the meaning of these words, we have them recorded for us in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. The commandments are divided into two sections. The first three commandments talk about our relationship with God, and the last seven talk about our relationship with one another, person to person. And all of the commandments have been given by God for our welfare, for our benefit. You know, it's interesting, as you teach young people, you have to explain this to them, that the world wants them to believe that somehow God is making rules that's going to hinder their fun and not allow them to do certain things, and they try to make it extremely negative. What God wants us to understand is that these are the rules he's given us to help us understand what will preserve life, what will make life enjoyable, and what will give us a great deal of joy. That's why these commandments have been given to us, for our benefit. You know, I think a lot of people, when they are young, are taught by their parents certain things about the commandments. At least I hope that's still happening in most of our homes. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's generally negative, like don't lie, don't steal, don't murder, and so on. All these things, which of course are in the Ten Commandments, and these would be what we call sins of commission, where we do something that we're not supposed to do. I find that most people know quite a bit about that. They know the things they're not supposed to do. They generally aren't as well versed on the things they're supposed to do. What is it they're supposed to do? And when God gave us the commandments, he wanted us to understand that not only are there some things there that we're not to do, but there are many things that we're supposed to do, and you can see this throughout the commandments. You can see, for instance, let's say, the second commandment. And the minute I begin to assign a number to certain commandments, various people in various denominations will say, well, that's the wrong number, and we didn't number them that way. Well, technically speaking, they're not numbered in the Bible, and so there have been several different lists made that couple some of the commandments together and others split them apart and so on. So you end up with different numerical numbers for the various commandments. That's immaterial. That doesn't matter at all. The point is all the commandments are there for us. And in the process, when I'm talking about the second commandment, I'm talking about the proper use of God's name, that we are not to misuse God's name. Now, here's an excellent illustration of the point I'm trying to make here. Not only are we to not misuse God's name by cursing and swearing and so on, but we are to properly use it. We are to use it as we pray. We are to use it as we witness. So in a technical kind of way of trying to teach this, in our particular church denomination, We talk about these as the sins of commission, when we do something that we're not supposed to do, like cursing and swearing, and the sins of omission, where we fail to do what we're supposed to do, like using God's name lovingly in prayer or witnessing to someone about Jesus Christ. So to fail to do that is a sin of omission. And as I began to say, to make this point, I believe there are a lot of people that know the things they're not supposed to do. Shouldn't this, we shouldn't that, and they have all kind of rules, and they make it appear as though the Christian religion is just sort of obeying a set of rules, which, of course, is ridiculous. That's not the point at all. What we need to emphasize is the things that we should do, the things that God wants us to do and is appreciative of our doing. Those things are equally as important, and if we fail to do them, are equally sinful. So the person that's trying to act self-righteous and pretend that they do so many good, wonderful things and that they're not guilty of any sin, of course, don't understand that at all. And in the same sense, the people that don't understand the natural origin of sin, that we are born with sin, it's our human nature, it's our heart, even the little tiny infant who hasn't done anything wrong still has sin because it's a member of the human race. And you can't enter the human race without entering it as a sinner, because two sinners produced you. And that's how it is transmitted down through the human nature. Take a look, for instance, how easy it is to detect that in the life of a tiny little child or even a baby. Watch them scream when they get mad or when they get hungry. They're not little angels. They have all kinds of sin in them. They're part of the human race. And then take a look at a one-year-old or a two-year-old child, even before they're conscious of a lot of things they're doing, how selfish they can be and how mean they can be. That's our human nature. The Bible says our heart is full of all kinds of evils. So when you think about the commandments, and let's assume now you're out of your infancy stage as you're listening to this broadcast, obviously you're a little older, and you should begin to understand that in obeying God's commandments, you are preserving the very things that he wants you to enjoy. Just take an example of the sixth commandment, where it talks about not committing adultery, not being immoral. And the opposite of that, things you should do, you should preserve your marriage. You should work at it. You should try to encourage others to preserve their marriages and so on. You should be decent. You should be moral. You should have a mind that focuses on good and wonderful things instead of evil and pornography. And so you take these commandments one by one, as we in the first three talk about our relationship with God. God wants it to be a loving relationship. He says a fulfillment of those first three commandments would be to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. In other words, make it your priority that you are in a relationship with God, a God who loves you, is personally involved with you in that he wants to know you intimately and wants you to respond to him in love and thanksgiving and praise. The Garden of Eden was exactly the way God intended it to be before the fall into sin. And so they had a relationship with God, a wonderful, beautiful, joyful relationship. And that's where we're heading, by the way, as we are heading toward heaven. Those that have been forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ look forward to Christ's return. And on Judgment Day, we will join Christ. We will go with him to heaven, where we will forever again have that relationship of joy and companionship and love. So I think the important thing, especially as we are raising little children and as they get into their teenage years, is to show them how they benefit by obeying the commandments. You know, I've always felt it's very easy to teach a child to obey. You just have to recognize that some people teach obedience by threatening the kid. And this always, it brings back an incident recently in my life where I was traveling and I was in a mall eating in the food court. And I saw a kid, he must have been 7 or 8 years old, certainly old enough to know that he ought to be obeying his mother. And he was yanking on her arm and hitting her with his other arm, and he was sassing back. He was just terrible, a real brute. And it got so bad as I was observing this that I got up and I walked over and I leaned over and whispered in the kid's ear. I said, "You better shape up or I'll knock your head off." Now, that was a threat, of course. I didn't have much time there to work with that little kid. But boy, did that kid ever shape up. And interestingly enough, I was finishing my meal and they were walking past the food court when this was happening. And I was still at my meal finishing up when they had turned around the other end of the mall and they were walking past the food court again. And I saw them and he had his eye on me. He was watching me and he was so obedient. He was holding his mother's hand so nice and he was walking by and the mother whispered with her lips, you know, motioned with her lips, thank you, you know. Well, like I say, it's easy to threaten someone to get them to obey. But the point is, teach them to want to obey, to want to obey. That way, when they get away to college or someplace and they're on their own, they won't have that authority watching over them, but they will have learned to want to obey because they will understand that these commandments are for their welfare and for their good. I think that's the point to get across to people. God loves us, and these rules have been given to us because he loves us, and he wants us to be happy. He wants us to be fulfilled. He wants us to have an enjoyable relationship with him as well as with one another. And so these commandments have been given to show us what God's will is and how we should live and how we will be happy if we live this way. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today. So all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.